Good morning. Hey, come on, let's give Jesus just a few seconds. A little praise. We thank you, God. We thank you. Good morning, everybody. It sounded great there in worship. Have a seat. So glad you're here today. Hey, it's going to be a great day. So excited. Pastor Daniel is out of town preaching in Florida, and so praying that he'll have a great, great morning, that God would use him in a powerful way to impart something in that church. And just so grateful for our pastor, so thankful for all he does. Praying for him for this week. He's going to preach a lot of messages over Christmas, so be praying for your pastor. He'll be back next week. Next week is Christmas at LifePoint. It's going to be an amazing, amazing weekend. Yeah. One of our favorite times of the year. So much anticipation about what's to come. So I can't wait for that. Well, hey, I want to encourage you today around really a simple idea. And I'm not going to go real deep today. I'm just going to lay it out real simply. And I want to encourage you, really challenge you and inspire you, hopefully. Today is not a message of condemnation, but really opportunity that we have. And it's the opportunity that we have over the next few weeks and really the weeks to come as we head into January to just extend an invitation. You know, really, and I want you to get this, as a church, here's one thing that we know. We have two primetime opportunities right now, Christmas and January. Two primetime opportunities, really every year. Christmas is a great opportunity to extend invitations. I mean, gosh, have you drove around lately? There are baby Jesuses in people's front yards. I mean, if you can't extend an invitation at Christmas, I mean, they're practically ready for you to extend an invitation, right? They almost expect you to. And so Christmas is a great opportunity to extend an invitation. And then January, people are making goals. Many of them are spiritual. And so you get the opportunity to be a part of that. And let me just say this. Here's why we don't want you to extend an invitation. It's not for the church to get big. We're big. Right? No, it's not just to be a big church. It's because Jesus wants to make people far from him fully alive. And so that's why we get this opportunity. That's really what this opportunity is all about. And so, hey, if you have your Bible, I want to give you our key text today real quickly. And thank you, Dre, for playing behind me. You sound good. You can play for a few more minutes. I'll read this scripture real quick, and then we will we'll go there. John chapter 1, starting with verse number 35. You can turn to it. You can tap to it. Most of us tap now on our cell phones. It says, the next day, John was there with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing and said, look, it's the Lamb of God. It's John the Baptist. He's there with two of his disciples. And he says, look, it's the one we've been waiting for. It's the one we've been anticipating. It's the one I've been telling you about would come. Look, there he is, the Lamb of God. I can only imagine the thrill of hope that must have been in the air. Can only imagine the excitement in that moment as they looked on, and there was Jesus passing by. And it says, when two of the disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. They followed him. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked them, said, hey, what are you doing following me? What do you want? And Jesus would extend an invitation to them. What do you want? You know, for many of you, maybe that's the invitation Jesus is extending you today. What do you want? I don't think it was a like, what do you want? No, it was a, what do you guys want? I'm here. I've come. What do you want? Jesus looks at them and says, what do you want? And they said, teacher, rabbi, where are you staying? In other words, can I hang with you? Can I go hang out with you? And so he says, sure, come on. And so it says they went where he was staying and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 p.m. I mean, they spent the day with Jesus. How awesome is that? I can only imagine what that day was like. I can only imagine what took place. I can only imagine the purpose that was in that room, the hope that was in that room, the conversations that would be had. And they spent the day with him, and Andrew was one of them that was there, Simon Peter's brother, that heard John say this and followed Jesus. He would be in that room. And it says the first thing that Andrew did after spending time with Jesus, after receiving an invitation from Jesus to come hang with him, he then would extend an invitation by saying he would go find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. Hey, Simon, that John guy isn't crazy. He's here. I spent the day with him. He said, we found the Messiah. And it says, and then Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. And Jesus looked at his brother and said, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means, or is translated to, as Peter. What a powerful text, so much that we could say about it. For Andrew, he would extend an invitation that he had no idea what hung in the balance of it, as he invited his brother to be introduced to the Savior that he had spent the afternoon with. And that invitation would change everything. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you that you're here, that you're meeting us in this place. We thank you that today is a day of really just being challenged to fulfill the great, really the great commission that you left with us to go. And so as I said earlier, may people not feel condemned today, but may they feel inspired and challenged. May they realize the opportunity we have ahead of us to simply extend an invitation. In Jesus' name, everybody said a great big faith-filled amen. 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 Well, hey, thank you, Dre, so much. Appreciate you. You sound good. Hey, let me just say this. If you and I were to hang out, one of the things that we would eventually talk about is kind of a little bit about my story, right? Somewhere along the way, you'd say, hey, where did you come from? Where did you grow up? What has God done in your life? And the truth is, here's the thing, as I look back over my life, one of the things that's very apparent is invitations or series of invitations were really pivotal, actually defining moments in my life. I mean, in fact, I could tell really my life story through the filter or the lens of invitations. I mean, I can go back 5, 10, 15, 20 years and all along the way see the invitations that were a part of my life story. And you could too about your life story. I can think back 13 years ago as I stood at an altar with this beautiful bride right here, and we invited each other to spend the rest of our lives together, and the rest is history. 13 years later, happy marriage, happy life, beautiful baby boy who I love so very much named Samuel. And it was all the result of an invitation that she would receive when I called, and I'm so glad she accepted. And so there was an invitation involved there. I think about other invitations in my life. I think about the last minute decision to go to Arkansas Tech University. I am from the South. Go Razorbacks. There's never anyone. But I think about the invitation I would receive last minute to go to that college when they mailed me a letter and said, hey, you have been accepted. And that acceptance would change my life. It would be there that I would meet Jennifer. It would be there that really I'd discover my purpose and my calling, as there were some other invitations along the way. In fact, there was a guy named Kevin Talbert when I went there to college. And Kevin was a college pastor. And Kevin, I remember, would invite me over to his house one day. And that invitation would be huge. He invited me over to his house and he said something in effect, and I don't remember it all, but it was something to the effect of this: you have purpose on your life. I see something special in you. I see that there's really this kind of thing about you, and I just have a feeling that God would use you tremendously if you'd allow him to. That God might have a plan for you that's bigger than you think, a plan for you that's more than you could ever hope for or dream of. And I'm just saying, if you'll follow that plan, if you'll give your life to that plan, if you'll just serve God, he'll do amazing things for you. And I'm so glad I accepted that invitation today. I think about invitations, if we were to go back a little bit further, I think about when I was in high school, I was a football player. Any football players out there? I can't wait for my little boy to demolish on the gridiron. I mean, he's a big, chunky boy, and he's going to kill it. But I played football, and anyways, I remember the announcer of the football games was a pastor. And so this pastor would announce me at the football games, and he ran into my dad at a gas station. My dad was at a gas station. I don't have time to go into all my story, but here's the thing. I didn't grow up in the best of environments. My dad kind of tried hard, but I was born out of a wedlock, kind of a byproduct of like a drunken binge around California. And you know, my dad, he was an alcoholic and drug addict and all of those things, and beat me and, you know, all of that stuff. And here's the thing, I didn't have the best childhood. But it's crazy, because that invitation would change everything. Yeah. My dad accepted that invitation at a gas station, and we would go to church, and then the rest was history. And my dad's life is better now, and he's sober now, and he loves God now, and all those things. And here's the thing, that's amazing, right? I mean, For some of you, that's your life and that's your story, and there's so much to clap about, and we could just go home on that note and say, thank you, Jesus, right? But invitations have been powerful in my life. And the truth is, invitations are powerful in your life. You could tell your life story through the lens or the filter of invitations, right? I mean, I could sit down and talk with you and you could tell me about that call that you made to that person and she said yes, or he said yes, and now you're married. You know, you think about this, and this is kind of weird to think about, but you know, all of us are here because of a result of an invitation. You know, somewhere with someone along the way, kind of gross to think about, hopefully after dating, more dating, and then marriage, and boom, you end up here. We're all a result of an invitation. And so the thing about it is invitations are powerful in your life. You could tell me, probably some of you, about the invitation that you received to that party, and you went to that party or that social gathering or that kind of business after hours and you met that person. You know who I'm talking about, that person, and through that relationship, you landed that contract and now your business is better. Now you're growing and now you're becoming everything that God intended your business to become, and it was because of a relationship. Or maybe your story is like my story. You can think about the letter you got to attend that college, and that was monumental in your life. That was a pivotal moment. I mean, our life is changed through invitations. Here's the thing about invitations, and you have to get this. Invitations are powerful. In fact, invitations can change everything. Invitations can change everything. Everything. All of us can think about moments in our lives where an invitation was pivotal. An invitation really set the course of our life. And so here's the thing about those invitations, if you were to think about them, and maybe you've never thought about it this way, but if you were to think about those moments, those invitations, there were people involved in it. And maybe you've never told this person, or maybe you've really never thought about it till in this moment, but you're grateful for that person, right? I mean, you're not mad at them. You're grateful for them. You're so thankful because your life is better. And you got that job and you got that invitation. You ended up at that career all because of an invitation, and you're grateful for that person. In fact, some of you are here today because of an invitation. Some of you today, you're in this room because somebody invited you. And maybe your life was going great, but you just felt like there was more. Or maybe you were an addict. Maybe you were without hope. Maybe you were struggling in your marriage. For whatever reason, you came and you showed up, and your life is better before it. You're a better mom. You're a better dad. You're a better boss. You're a better coworker. You're a better son, daughter. Your relationships are better, all because of an invitation. And so here's why I want to talk about this today, and here's why this is such a powerful thing. Because invitations can change everything. And here's the opportunity that you have, and here's why this is a big deal for us, is just as somebody in your past, okay, because of invitation, now in your future, you're grateful for them, you can be in somebody's future, a person they're grateful for. Because here's the thing about invitations, and here is the power that you have. Each and every one of you, and I don't know who you are, and this goes beyond your education, this goes beyond your career, this goes beyond, you know, your likes, your dislikes. I just know this is true about you. Here's what I know. Even though I don't know each of you, I know this, that you have the power. You have the power to change the trajectory of someone's entire life. You have the power to change the trajectory of someone's entire life through a single or series of invitations. That's the power you have, and that's what I want to talk about today. Because the reality is, invitations can change everything. And so the text we read today is so beautiful because we start off in our text with really two invitations that we see within this text. One in which Jesus is inviting Andrew to follow him, to come and to see. Here's the thing, Andrew is kind of the hero of our story, and Andrew would be the first ever follower of Jesus. Something you need to know about Andrew is Andrew would be one of the least mentioned disciples in Scripture. In fact, Andrew's name would only be mentioned 6, 7, 8 times. I mean, very few times his name would be mentioned. But here's the interesting thing about Andrew's name when it is mentioned. The interesting thing about Andrew's name when it is mentioned is oftentimes it's mentioned in association with him bringing people to Jesus or extending invitations to others. Andrew was the inviter. And so Andrew, while he may not have been in Jesus' inner circle, while he never may have walked on water, he may not have given the first message of Pentecost, Andrew was a really important figure. Because he kind of set the tone and the pace for what it means to follow Jesus. He was first, and as first, I think he really was a pace setter.
Yeah, that's good.
Andrew was an inviter. And we don't know what happened in that day when he spent time with Jesus, but it must have really changed some things. That invitation must have meant the world to him. I mean, it must have impacted his life in such a way, because immediately after that time with Jesus, he went to go find somebody and tell them and bring them to Jesus. And so there's four things that I see that Andrew did, four just real quick, and these are real simple. You're not going to read these next four statements that I want to make to you and think, oh man, that must have took you forever to come up with. Those are so deep. No, these are just kind of cookies on the bottom shelf, four easy statements that I hope you can remember. And it's really part of Andrew's four-step process. The four things that I see that he did when it came to extending an invitation that I just think maybe if we apply to our lives, this could kind of be your 1, 2, 3 step. Everybody wants steps, right? You're like, hey, how can I do that? I get what you're saying. I'd like to, but I just don't know how. I just don't have the courage. I just don't think I ever could. You know, let me help you today. I want to motivate you and show you just how easy it is to extend an invitation. So if you're taking notes, Andrew's four-step process, the first thing that we see is this, is Andrew just made it a priority. The first thing that we have to do is we have to make it a priority in our life to tell others about Jesus. You know, Jesus' last command to us before he would go into heaven was to go into all the world and tell others about him, to tell others what they had experienced. And you know, it's so funny that oftentimes his last command is our last priority. But what would it look like if his last command, the greatest thing that he told us to do, what if it became our first priority? What if it was the thing that we thought about this week first? You know, scripture said that the first thing that Andrew did, the first thing that he did, you know, I just wonder this week what it would look like if the first thing on your mind when you woke up tomorrow morning, the first thing as you headed into your job, the first thing as you got out your phone and was about to scroll through Instagram was just to think about, who can I extend an invitation to? Yeah. You just make it a priority this week. You just make it a, and you know what? I get it. There's a lot of things competing for our attention. There's a lot of things that are priority this week. You got a job, you got a life, you got kids. Things are important in life, right? Things are taking places in your life that are priorities. I'm just saying, will you add this to the list? I know you can't just quit your job. I know you can't just quit being a mom. Like, yes, your son's gonna throw everything off the shelf tonight when you get home. That was my whole Saturday, right? So I know there's priorities in your life, but can you scooch this into it as well? And can this be a priority in the busiest season, as there's deadlines at work, as the pressure is on? Can this just take a place too? Because of what Jesus has done in your life, can you extend an invitation to others and can you make this a priority? You know, I just think if we could do this, if we could start with that, that's really the point in which it starts. It starts with this desire to walk out of here and say, you know what? I'm gonna make it a priority. You know who typically, the people that typically don't extend invitations? People that don't make it a priority. And so if you'll make it a priority, God will give you opportunity. God will show you people. And when he shows you people, or when he gives you those opportunities, I just encourage you, like Andrew, to keep your eyes open. It says the first thing he did is he went and found, he was looking, he went to look for his brother Simon. You know, I think that's true of us this week, that we have an opportunity to make it a priority, but then just keep our eyes open to those around us. Yeah. You know, every one of us have people that we work with, family members, coworkers, right, that are all around us that are hurting. You know, there's things that they say, things like this, like I'm not in church, or things aren't going well. Right? That's your cue. When people say things like, I'm not in church, things aren't going well, it wasn't like we planned, that's your cue to say, you should come to church with me this Sunday. But so often, we're so distracted, especially during Christmas time, we can get so distracted by the hustle and the bustle that we just don't keep our eyes open to the things around us that matter. May your eyes not be on presents this year. May your eyes not just be on that end of the year bonus, but may your eyes be on people. May your eyes be on those that are around us that God has perfectly positioned you around. I don't know if you've thought about that or not, but you know this, God has perfectly positioned you. He's perfectly positioned you in your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, to give an invitation. And so Andrew made it a priority immediately to go and to find somebody, and he went and he found his brother Simon. He found the person that mattered most to him. Maybe that's where we should start. You might be thinking, I don't even know where to begin. Who are the people that are close to you? That was the first person that Andrew went to find. And then once he found him, guess what he did? He just extended the invitation. Sometimes we can make this so hard. We think that we have to have it all together. We think that we have to know it all. And you know what? That wasn't the case here. I think all that Andrew did was say, hey, I got to tell you about my afternoon with Jesus. Like, it was amazing. And all of us have that story if we're in here today for the most part. All of us have been in a place where Jesus has done something in your life, and you probably have a story to tell. He made your marriage better. He gave you more purpose. He gave you more hope. You're a better mom, a better dad. Your relationships are better. Maybe that's just the only thing that we have to say. Hey, God has changed me, and I just believe he wants to change you. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And you don't got to give him a Bible study. You don't got to have 10 steps for him. All you have to do is say, hey, you should come to church with me. God's done a ton in my life. Yeah, and I think what he's done for me, he would do for you. Yeah. And so can we not make it so complicated? Make it so hard? Well, I don't know. And what if they say no? Or, you know, and just simply say, this is who has changed my life. This is who's done this in my life. You know, you remember how my marriage was on the rocks? Let me tell you what happened and why it's better now. It was Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's all you got to do. And then you close the deal, right? Let me show you how to close the deal. The last thing is you don't just extend the invitation. Sometimes we stop there. But then the last thing is then you bring them to Jesus. It says that Andrew told him about Jesus and then he brought him to Jesus. I don't know what he did to bring him to Jesus. Maybe he, you know, hit him with a club and threw him on the back of a donkey and, you know, said, come on, we're going. I don't know if Andrew had been waiting patiently, or Simon had been waiting patiently for Andrew to come back. He had knew that he would with Jesus and was gladly, you know, gladly wanted to follow Andrew to Jesus. I don't know what the story was, but what we do know is Andrew brought him. What we do know is Andrew took the time to grab him by the hand and say, I'll lead you to him. And so here's what I think that means for us. Here's, I think, what that could look like as far as bringing people to Jesus. Maybe it's as simple as not just extending the invitation, but just saying, hey, then can I sit with you? Would you sit with me? Can I meet you out in the parking lot? Can I come by your house and pick you up? Can I personally be a part of your journey? I think that's really what it means. That you're not just going to invite and dump and say, go figure it out on your own, but you'll just invest in their journey. That's what we saw Andrew doing. He loved his brother enough to say, I'll invest in that journey. I'll bring you. I'll be a part of your walk to Jesus. And here's the thing, and here's what we learned that's so amazing. That invitation that day, it would change everything. See, Andrew had no idea what hung in the balance of his willingness to extend an invitation to Simon, but something did. Something we would soon discover as we read through the rest of the Gospels. Verse number 42 says this, that Andrew brought him to Jesus, and then Jesus looked at Simon, son of John, and looked at his brother and said this, said, you will be called Cephas, which is translated to Peter. I love this because in this moment, Jesus didn't see Simon for who he was, but who he would be. He saw purpose on him. I can only imagine he looked over at Andrew and said, ah, good job, Andrew. I got a plan for him. I had a plan for him since the beginning of time. I'm so grateful you brought him to me. Peter would be a founding father of the early church. It would be Peter that would see God do amazing things. It would be Peter that would see Jesus heal his mother-in-law. It would be Peter that would walk on water to Jesus. It would be Peter that would love Jesus so much and be such a friend with Jesus that Jesus would invite him into his inner circle. Peter would get to do that, not Andrew. My, oh my, what that invitation changed. I can only imagine every time Peter was in those moments where he saw Jesus do extraordinary things by himself apart from the disciples, he just thought, man, I'm so thankful for my brother. I would have never got this opportunity if it wasn't for him. I'm so grateful for him. He wasn't mad at him. He was grateful for him. And it would be Peter who would stand up on the day of Pentecost. He would be the first pastor of the first church and deliver the most powerful message where 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. Little did Andrew know that that invitation would change everything. That Andrew had the power to change the trajectory of someone's entire life through a single invitation. And so, here's the question. Why should you invite people to Christmas? Why should you be a part of this? Because Jesus uses invitations to change people's lives. And why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? Why wouldn't you want that opportunity to be a part of someone's future? Or as they look back over the moments in their life, they say, I'm grateful for that person because that invitation changed everything. And so I want to show you a story about somebody that was invited to church. And now through the invitation that changed their lives, they are now committed to changing other people's lives. If you'll turn your attention to the screen.
We met about 5 years ago. We have a blended family. I think we both came in. We're just kind of very selfish people.
I was not ready to be a step-parent. I was not prepared. I was always trying to protect myself, always having one foot in, one foot out.
I suffer still to this day of social anxiety. You know, I've always struggled really a lot with relationships.
We were both broken. I didn't have a relationship with God at all. My friend Alan and Liz invited me to LifePoint. I was over their house and Liz asked me if I went to church. And you know, I said, no, I really never been. It wasn't on my radar. And you know, she handed me a card. So you should check it out sometime. And I didn't even register. I just put it in my pocket and moved on. And a year went by.
I think it was at a point in my life where I was just really lost and broken dealing with the anxiety and depression. And that point just kind of felt I was drowning. And I just felt this overwhelming, you know, something's missing. Like, we have to try something. When I actually had mentioned it to him that, you know, I wanted to try and find a church, that was the first time I had heard about the invite. I feel like if that seed hadn't been planted, we would have most likely been just picking a random church in our area.
Or not going
at all, just kind of being scared. But having someone that we could go and meet up with and introduce us, I think it was amazing.
I'm not sure we would have got through the front doors if we didn't have a connection. It was the last of the relationship series, and it was perfect. It was on cue for what we needed. We continued to go, and things started to change. We both were baptized together. The kids really started to see what we were doing and what it was doing for us. The change in our family has been huge.
I have grown as a mom and as a friend. I'm so much more compassionate about things. I want to, you know, help others. It's just helped us build our relationship with God and build our marriage and build our family.
Just a simple invite changed everything. Most of the folks that I know, they see the change in me. And when I invite them, they know why the change happened. So they automatically are interested in coming.
We're all human and we all go into church broken. You might have someone that you know that's like that, that's scared to death, and you know that they're scared to death, but you know, like, reach out, invite them. I think the biggest part is to actually build the relationship, and it's easy just to hand a card out. But building that relationship and say, hey, come meet me at the front door, I will sit with you. I think that's important. You can't expect someone who's never been to church just to go on their own. It's all about just seeing what a difference it makes in other people's lives and knowing that you're a part of that.
Just the power of an invite isn't just with one. If you get invited and start coming, you're going to invite a few, and they're going to come and they're going to invite a few. Soon there's so many families coming in that one invite could impact hundreds and hundreds of people. We tell everybody we can, locally, at work, send messages, face-to-face, whatever it needs to be done, because the more seeds planted, the more things will grow.
Now, some of you guys, as you heard that story, you get this, right? Because their story is your story, because once upon a time, you were unchurched. Once upon a time, that was your story. Somebody invited you and you said no, no, no. And then like they invited you another time and a third time and a fourth time. And there was a series of invitations and you were like, no, no, no. And then finally you said yes, just to get them off your back. You're like, I'll go. Or maybe for you, there was a seed planted and then you came home and your wife was like, honey, I think we should just give it a shot because nothing else seems to be working. And so you said, yeah, and you walked in and you were already like, I hate mega church. I hate crowds. I don't like people. Like, what are they doing? Do they have questions? Why are they raising their hands? And you didn't know if your kids were going to like it, but you showed up. You gave it a shot. And somewhere along the way, maybe it was in a single moment or maybe it was through a couple of moments, you begin to love it. In fact, you begin to even acquire a taste for it. And now you're here every week and you know better than anyone the power of an invitation, how Jesus has changed your life. And so you cannot wait to extend or explain or give an invitation to somebody this Christmas. But for some of you, and this isn't a knock, right? Maybe you just grew up in church. You were like born a Christian. And so you never really kind of got this and felt this, and you don't really have that story of what it's like to be invited and have your life changed. You've just been serving Jesus. What an incredible story that is, by the way. Yeah. You've just been serving Jesus with all your heart because your mom, your dad, they invested in you, did the right things with you. But can I just say this? If you've never experienced what it means to be a part of giving an invitation to someone, maybe you just thought, that's not me. God didn't wire me that way. God didn't make me to, you know, kind of do that. I'm happy just kind of come in and doing me. I just say God wants you to experience this because you're the vehicle. Yeah. You're the vehicle. And what's so weird is God didn't need us, but he chose us. He chose us to be the vehicles in which would intersect with this world, that would extend invitations to relationships with others in a relationship with him. And so I would just say this Christmas, I pray that there would be a courage that would rise up in you. There'd be something that would inspire you today to do this, to try this. And here's what I know about you, and here's what I know, that if you'll step into this challenge and you'll be a part of it, it will be another thing in your life that'll make you feel more fully alive. And more like Jesus. And I know you want that. I know you want that feeling of being closer to God. And so why don't you try this? What would it look like if 100% of us would do this? What would it look like if 100% of our church this week would just make this a priority? Would extend invitations? Would be a part of changing lives? What would it look like, and what would God do in the lives of those that would come? In fact, let me end with this question. Here's the question. Do you know what hangs in the balance of your willingness to extend an invitation? Do you know what hangs in your balance, or in the balance of your willingness to not extend an invitation? The answer is no. See, we do not know what hangs in the balance of our willingness to extend an invitation. We never will. Only God will. Only God knew that an invitation at a gas station changed my dad's life. And only God knew that that invitation would give birth to something inside of me, a generation that would follow my dad. And only God knew that one day I would stand on a stage like this and encourage you with a message like this to do for others what others have done for you. And so I'm asking, will you do for someone what someone has done for you? And that's extended an invitation. I'm challenged this Christmas to do for others what others did for me. And I think if we could do that, here's what we'd learn. And here's really what I'm praying. I'm praying that next week and in the weeks to come, that you'll get to experience what it's like for someone in your future to be grateful for you and to be thankful for you. And you'll get to experience what it's like next week to get to a moment where the atmosphere is charged and we ask people, if today's the day, you've been running from God, but today's the day you're ready to receive Him. And we see thousands of people at Christmas time stand up and give their lives to Christ. You'll be grateful because you have the power. You have the power to change the trajectory of someone's entire life through a series of invitations or a single invitation to Christmas at LifePoint. Here's what I want to close with. An invitation, it can change everything. Can I pray for you? Would you bow your heads? Let me ask you this question right now. Who is it that you're inviting? Who is it that God has perfectly positioned you around this season to make a difference in their lives, to extend an invitation? God, would you whisper those names to us? May you bring those names to our attention. May you show us who they are. Maybe it's a coworker, a family member, an aunt, an uncle. God, would you show us? Would you show us? Father, thank you so much for what you're going to do in our church next week and the weeks to come. Thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of helping change people's lives, that while you didn't need us, you chose us. You've given us this incredible opportunity to do for others what others have done for us, and that's simply to extend an invitation. One last thing, maybe you're in the room today with your head bowed, your eyes still closed, maybe you're here today, and you heard a message like this, and you're thinking, oh, that's why you invited me to the friend next to you. Can I just say that's exactly why you've been invited today? And God knew you were going to be here in a service like this, hearing a message like this, and He wanted you to be here because He wanted to extend an invitation to you. And I think the invitation to you today is He's just asking the same thing that He asked Andrew, what do you want? I'm here for you. Here to give you life and life to the full. And if that's you and you need Jesus, I want to ask that you just slip up a hand. You can slip it up and then you can put it down. Thank you so much. Would you pray this with me if you just raise your hand? In fact, would everyone pray this with me for the sake of those that just slipped up a hand? Would you say, Jesus, thank you so much that you've came to give me life and life to the full. Today I receive your invitation, the invitation to follow you. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everybody. Awesome. Hey, I love you guys. Next week's going to be a great week. We'll see you at Christmas.